it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
A couple of right-handers on the hill tonight. Rick Porcello, the defending Cy Young winner in the American League. He will pitch for Boston. And right-hander Alec Asher will get the start for the Orioles. In a moment, Buck Showalter, Rock and Buck, when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Geico Manager's Report. Wade Miley gives you 7 innings last night, only one walk. Is that the key for him? I know it seems obvious, but the fact that he was able to only walk one batter, and even though he had the 30-pitch second inning, he gets through 7.
Yeah, you know, he got some outs early in the count, which has been a challenge for a lot of our pitchers. But, you know, the other team doesn't always cooperate. But there's such a fine line, Rock, between, you know, if you have half a ball out of the zone and half a ball in the zone in a quality place, it just turns everything around. That's how fine a line this is. And I think he got confident throwing the ball into some quadrants that he needs to be successful. And obviously he always has a good tempo. I thought the 6th and 7th inning were big for the game.
Chris Davis is now homered back-to-back nights. You get asked what's wrong with him when he's slumping, so I'll ask you now, what's right with Chris Davis?
You know, Rock, we can overanalyze stuff. You know, Chris, it's just the nature of the beast. You know, that's the way, if we think all of a sudden it's going to change a lot, he's going to go through some periods where, you know, he's going to be able to carry a club offensively, and there's going to be some times when, but, you know, it can go, and all of a sudden there it is again. So, you know, we just like the fact that how productive he can be when you look at the big picture and how well he plays first base.
The Red Sox today put Eduardo Rodriguez on the DL with a knee injury. That bizarre scene when he was warming up last night and he fell off the mound. Was this brought to your attention that it happened? And then did you go watch the video to see what was going on there?
Yeah, we knew about it about 5 or 6 minutes before game time. In fact, I watched it in the replay room, and you know, he pitched pretty well. But that might have been a little bit of the difference in what ended up being the end game there. But, wish him well, and hopefully it's just a short-term thing, and I'm sure they're being careful with him. He's got a great arm, a good pitcher, and type of guys you have to give up to get Andrew Miller.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on the manager's report. The challenges just keep coming. You have Rodriguez last night, now it's Rick Porcello tonight. What specifically are the challenges with a guy like that?
Well, you know, you're going to face 3 Cy Young winners. You know, it's kind of the nature of the pitching we face for a long time, it seems now, but it's the big leagues. And, you know, he's a strike thrower, fills up the bottom of the zone, 2 or 3 different pitches that you got to look for. You know, if he's on with his command, very much like Miley, what you need to beat him is a good outing out of your pitcher and try to stay close and see if you can extend some counts. But, you know, you take them one at a time, and, you know, Rodriguez was a tough pitcher. He was one of the top ERA guys in baseball, and you're going to have 3 more challenges, and that's why they're so capable of winning our division.
Alec Asher on the mound tonight for the Orioles. Last start there in Houston, was that just a simple case of just not commanding the ball as well as he had his previous outings?
Well, that's what it was physically, you know, and, you know, it'll be a test for him, see if he can get that part of it back, which is a part that makes it attractive for him to continue to help us like he has out of the pen. He certainly had a lot of background as a starter, but, you know, he's got a real tough proposition here with the Red Sox. But, you know, that's the type of guys that you're going to face if you're going to be successful up here.
I don't know how much you can talk about this, but Pedro Alvarez and Edwin Jackson had their opt-out dates yesterday. They're both still in the organization. Are you just assume for the time being that's the way it's going to be, and are you glad that at least it worked out where there's still options for you if you need them?
I don't know. I'd be a question for Dan. We haven't really talked about it today, what transpired. And, you know, I'm staying focused on the Red Sox and trying to figure out a thing there. So it's a little bit of ignorance is bliss right now. But I really need to stay focused on our 25. And, you know, hopefully they'll stay with us because they're really good potential depth pieces.
What's the latest with Ryan Flaherty? Is there any update?
Well, you know, he that PRP shot he had, he should start throwing sometime this week. And that was supposed to be 2 to 3 weeks, and the 2-week period was yesterday. So I expect to get reports that Ryan's throwing sometime this week. Ryan is.
And, you know, fans still ask about Cedric Mullins. What's the latest with him?
I asked Brian Graham about that day, our farm director. He's traveling as we speak to Bowie. He should get there tomorrow, and he'll play on Sunday.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Well, the Orioles are before the game today. Get ready for the Boston Red Sox. They took batting practice, and some of them were in the clubhouse and they were playing chess. Fred Manfra will explain it to you when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Well, it is a picture-perfect Friday night here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards for this second game of three with the Boston Red Sox. Often in Major League clubhouses prior to ball games, you'll see the players involved in games of pool, ping pong, and chess. Well, today in the Oriole clubhouse, a 12-year-old chess champion, Kari Myrick, visited with the Orioles and beat the Orioles at their game of chess today. In fact, Buck Showalter talked about the youngster in his pregame news conference.
See the chess match? That was pretty entertaining. It's kind of like, remember the kids from, was it China, came in with the ping pong? That reminded me a lot of it. He works at a little different pace than the rest of us play chess. I don't know how to play.
Neither do I, Buck, but we're going to find out how to play from a 12-year-old, Kari Myrick from Roland Park Elementary School. He's a national champion. We'll do that when the Great Clips pregame show continues after this.
Well, it's a gorgeous Friday night here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards as the Orioles play the Red Sox in the second game of this four-game series. And before the ballgame, it was a very special evening for a very special young man, Kari Myrick, who is a chess champion. Kari, tell us, first of all, you had an unbeaten streak in the Nationals. Tell us about what that was like.
It was pretty fun. It was a good experience. I mean, I knew what to somewhat expect because I've been in Nationals before. And, you know, I just tried my best and was confident in what I did.
Now, before the ball game, you had a chance to go through the big three Oriole chess players. First up, Manny Machado. What did you do against Manny, and what did Manny do against you?
I beat Manny the first game we played, and yeah. Then I played the next person. I think we played twice, and I beat him. Or it's either I think I played Scope twice.
And then Jonathan Scope came on. Now he thinks he's a pretty good chess player. How do you rate him, and what did you do against Jonathan?
I think that he's decent and that he would be better with more practice. I think all of them would be better with more practice. I think I had my best game with him, and I think him and the coach might be the strongest.
Now, Wayne Kirby is a very funny guy. Did he try to distract you, your concentration at all when you were playing chess with him?
I don't know if he was trying to distract me, but he did talk a lot during the game.
But that's Wayne. That's what he does all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now tell me. Chess is a game of concentration, so he must have his method. As you said, he was probably trying to distract you.
Probably. I don't know. I think that he was just talking a lot because when I was playing other games, he still talked a lot. So, I don't know. It could be a strategy, or it just could be him liking to talk.
Now, how did you get started playing chess? Because a young man, 12 years old, with the ability you have at the game, you've had been playing it for a while, and you really have to enjoy playing it. How did you get started?
I started when I was in first grade, and there was a flyer sent out at my school. I told my mom about it, and then I just started going to the clubs.
Now, you've often had to play against older players, obviously, like the Orioles. Do you find them with any different strategies, or do you just go after them, hey, I'm going to beat your pants off?
People outside of standard tournaments that I play usually have a different style of playing, because when I go to standard tournaments, I know like the opening and stuff because I'm used to it. I've been doing it for years. But when I play like different and new people, it's like you don't know what to expect, so you got to like don't underestimate.
Now, there are strategies in the game of chess. How do you describe what you play?
Well, there's different openings for both colors. My opening on white is like try to control the middle. And no, there is a name for my opening, but I seem to have forgot it. But my opening for black is the Scandinavian.
Now, what does that mean?
The Scandinavian is a name of my opening on black, and that's when you move your queen's pawn to d5.
Now, you go to Roland Park Elementary. Now, how do you practice against someone that will give you game-tested competition practice?
Well, I think my coach does a good job teaching us everything we need to know. And I just practice a lot by myself on chess.com. I do a lot of tactics and just practice a lot.
Now, it's interesting. You mentioned a coach. How does a coach help you? We know what he can do on a baseball field. How does he help a chess player, a coach?
They teach them different lessons and different openings, and they have them do tactics and just work with them on to see what they've been having trouble on in their games.
How do you describe this day here at Oriole Park? It's not over for you. You're really just getting started after the games of chess. You're going to have some food in the clubhouse and I guess play a little bit more chess?
Yes. It's been a good experience. I haven't never experienced something like this. And it was just, I really enjoyed it.
Do you have a favorite Oriole after playing chess with these guys, or did you have one before?
I think that my favorite Oriole was Manny. I like playing chess with him the most. Not just because he was the easiest, but I enjoyed it.
Now, Manny seems like a guy that when he plays, he's concentrating on what's on the board. Is that correct?
Yes.
More so than Wayne or even Jonathan?
Yeah. He's more concentrated, just thinking about what he can do.
Overall, in your days of your life, even when you go and you talk about the National Chess Tournament, how does this rate? Coming to Oriole Park, being here behind the cage at batting practice, having gone into the clubhouse and meeting the players?
I'd say a 9 out of 10. It's been a very fun experience for me.
A very fun experience, and he added another victory. After batting practice, the Orioles went back into the clubhouse, and Dylan Bundy gave him a pretty good match, but the youngster, Kari Myrick, the 12-year-old, beat Manny Machado, Jonathan Scope, Wayne Kirby, and then added Dylan Bundy to go 4-0 against the Orioles prior to tonight's game against the Boston Red Sox. Tonight, good matchup of right-handers. The defending Cy Young winner, Rick Porcello, goes for the Boston Red Sox, and for the Orioles, Alec Asher will be on the hill for the Birds. The Birds won the opener in last night's contest. This is Fred Manfred inviting you to stay tuned for Orioles baseball.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Fred Manfred back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in the win column again. Yep. Orioles with their third consecutive victory after that miserable seven-game losing streak. They've now won three in a row, and tonight they won their second consecutive one-run decision. Remember, at one time, the Orioles were like 9-1 they were 8-1 in one-run games. And then they lost seven in a row to go 8-8. But now they won the last two one-run decisions. Tonight, they beat the Red Sox by a score of 3-2. And Fred, it was all about Alec Asher in this one because he began the game tonight with seven consecutive outs. And then he gave up the home run to Sandoval in the top of the third inning. After giving up the home run, he then retired 9 in a row. So at one time, he allowed just one base runner tonight in his first 5 1/3 innings.
And for Alec, he pitched well out of the Oriole bullpen. Buck inserts him into the starting rotation. Doesn't pitch all that well in his previous start, but tonight he was dealing against the Boston Red Sox. And when you talk about when you beat a team like Boston, it goes to pitching. We saw Asher, and then that bullpen was terrific.
Asher goes 6 1/3, gives up just 2 runs, but he allowed just 1 run while he was pitching. Michael Givens came out of the bullpen. He allowed one of Asher's runs in the top of the seventh inning, but then Darren O'Day got 3 outs in the eighth, couple of strikeouts. He struck out Mookie Betts in a tight ball game to end the eighth inning, and then Brad Brock came out with a 1-2-3 ninth to pick up his 11th save in 13 opportunities. Now, Fred, tonight, offensively, Seth Smith immediately gave the Orioles a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, first time as an Oriole leadoff hitter, in of course, this is his first year, hits the leadoff home run, third time in his career, and that was an outstanding at-bat. It came on the eighth pitch at that bat, thrown by the guy who won the Cy Young last year, Rick Porcello, and then one batter later, Adam Jones, an out, but then the way you called it, it was exciting to watch it fly out of here into the second level off the bat of Manny Machado.
How about that one, huh? Manny Machado against Rick Porcello. You talk about getting all of a certain pitch. Well, Manny did that. He hit one into the second deck in the left field corner, measured at 465 feet. Earlier this season, in a game at Yankee Stadium, Machado hit one 470 feet. So that's the longest home run Manny Machado has hit. But the one tonight was truly majestic.
Yeah, when you heard the crack of the bat and saw the acceleration off that bat, you said it's going to fly a long way. And that's the first time a ball has been hit into that second level since 2011, August of that year, when Kevin Reynolds hit one up there. Mark Reynolds. He hit one up there, but that ball was gone.
Well, you know, home runs are nice, but the actual game-winning run, the way things turned out, It came off the bat of Hyunsoo Kim.
Yeah, making just his 18th start in left field. He picks up the game winner with a double. And a nice way to take the first two against the Boston Red Sox and maybe advance against the Yanks.
Well, the postgame show brought to you by Browns Honda City. Browns Honda City, buy happy with Browns. And, yeah, right away in the bottom of the first inning, after Alec Asher had gotten him 1-2-3 in the top of the first inning, Seth Smith came up to lead off in the bottom of the first inning. Smith, fly ball, right field, well hit. Mookie Betts, way back there, way back there, right there, bye-bye. My goodness. Seth Smith has won the battle there against Porcello. He hits one into the seats in right center. Smith, number five for him on an eight-pitch at-bat. It's a 1-0 Oriole lead. And for Seth Smith, the third ever career leadoff home run for Seth Smith. After Jones struck out, that's when Manny Machado came up to swing a bat, and boy, did he swing the bat. 3-1 pitch, fly ball, left field, way back there. Oh, my goodness, Manny Machado, right fit, bye-bye, into the second deck in the left field corner. Man, did he launch that. Number 11 for Machado, a no-doubter, and it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. That was amazing, 465 feet, and the Orioles had the quick lead. Well, Asher came back and made the second inning look easy. The count 0-2, and he delivers again to Jackie Bradley Jr. And he got him looking, strike three called. There's that two-seamer that Bradley gave up on, and all of a sudden, it darted back and came back and caught the inside corner. So for Alec Asher, another 1-2-3, and he's thrown just 19 pitches in his first two innings to get six outs. And he had that 2-0 lead. In the third, he got Rutledge on a ground ball to short. So at that point, he had retired seven in a row, and then Pablo Sandoval came up to hit.
Fly ball, pretty well hit the left field. Kim back, Kim backing up to the wall. He jumps, and Kim cannot get it. Home run, one row deep. It's a 2-1 ball game. Sandoval with an opposite field home run to give the Red Sox their first hit and first run.
Yeah, their first base runner against Asher at that stage. And eventually in the bottom of the fourth inning, in a 2-1 game, Davis struck out to begin the inning. But then Scope singled, so he was on base for Hyunsoo Kim.
Scope from first being held. Kim lines it down the right field line. Base hit going toward the base of the wall. Rounding second, headed for third is Scope, being waved around by Bobby Dickerson. Here comes Scope to the plate. There will be no throw. Orioles lead it 3-1 into second base with an RBI two-bagger, Hyunsoo Kim. Orioles up 3-1 over Boston here in the bottom of the fourth.
So there you go. Kim getting a big hit there. And the way things turned out, that was the game-winning run. Asher, after giving up the home run to Sandoval in the third inning, well, he came back to record 9 consecutive outs. Here's the 1-1 delivery. The ground ball toward third. Manny is right there. And he guns across to Davis to get that third out. Alec Asher, another 1-2-3. He has gone 5 innings in the game tonight. He's allowed just 1 base runner. He's thrown just 67 pitches. And so far tonight, Alec Asher has had one of the better starts by any Oriole starter so far this season through 5 innings. Yeah, 5 innings. Eventually, he made it to the 7th inning when he gave up a leadoff double to Xander Bogaerts. After Bogaerts' double, Moreland fouled out. Out number one, exit Alec Asher. Buck came out to get him. Michael Givens came on to pitch, who then struck out Ramirez, out number two. But then Jackie Bradley Jr. made it a one-run game.
Givens gets the sign from Joseph. Will deliver in the pitch. Line drive, center field, base hit. Rounding third, headed for the plate is Bogaerts. Up with the ball is Adam Jones, and the ball is beyond on a bounce, shortstop J.J. Hardy, but backed up by Manny Machado. So staying at first base following the RBI single to make it a 3-2 ball game with the Orioles on top is Jackie Bradley Jr. Looked like he tried to get that fastball by him again, but Bradley was on it with that line drive to center field.
Yep, and he picked
and
up his
leadoff double by Bogaerts comes in to score from second base with two down.
I beg your pardon. Yeah, picked up his 22nd RBI. After that, the Oriole bullpen was marvelous. Darren O'Day in the 8th inning. He's got him 1-2. And O'Day ready again. He delivers. Bang! And a miss. He got him. And he got him with that fastball. Mookie Betts goes down on strikes. Inning is over. Darren O'Day, a couple of big strikeouts in the eighth inning. Yeah, that time he got the Mookie monster out number three there. And then it was Brad Brock in the ninth. So now the count one and two, Brad Brock trying to end the game. Mitch Moreland, he's got six home runs. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Ground ball back to Brock. He's got it. I'm to Davis. Ball game is over. And the Orioles again in the win column. It is their third consecutive victory, and they beat the Red Sox 2 out of 2 so far. Brad Brock gets a save. Alec Asher gets a victory. And the Orioles with a couple of early home runs, and they win their second consecutive one-run game. So there you go. By the way, the Yankees were beaten. That's a final. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees, so Orioles now back in second place in the Eastern Division as they move ahead of Boston, and they're now just 2.5 games behind the Yankees. Fred Manfra will continue our post-game activities right after this.
Well, nice night here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. More than 33,000. Watch the Orioles take their second straight from the Boston Red Sox, their third in a row. And the New York Yankees were losers 7-5 in Toronto, so that means the Orioles are now in second place in the East, 2.5 behind the Yankees. And the Boston Red Sox, with the Orioles leapfrogging over them, dropped to third place, 3 back, Tampa Bay 4 out at the moment. Part of the ballgame tonight that was really fun to watch, Oriole pitching, and Brad Brock picked up his 11th save of the season tonight. That means Kelly, a leader in benefits and payroll solutions, through innovative technology, we'll donate another $1,000 to the R. Adams Cali Shock Trauma Center. Talk about pitching, and it goes to Alec Asher. Pitched 6 1/3 strong innings to pick up the victory tonight. After the ballgame, here's Buck Showalter.
What's up?
What was different about Asher tonight compared to Houston?
Command of fastball and curveball, I thought, was more of a factor. It's one of the things Roger kind of talked to him about. It's not like he's throwing every pitch, but especially with the left-handed hitters in the lineup, there are 5 of them, 90. You know, it's a big pitch for guys to defend himself with something like that. He had a lot of pitches working for him. I was really impressed that there's little things you look at, like after giving up the home run to Moreland, he comes right back and gets the next guy out, doesn't walk. How many times you see people get fearful of the barrel and get out of the zone after that? Also, you know, Ramirez hit a couple home runs off of him last time, and that's the thing you like about Ash. He ain't scared. You know, he got right back in the fight and did a big job for us tonight. Probably threw him about 4 or 5 more pitches than I wanted to, but he got into that seventh.
Do you like having a guy that no walks?
Oh, yeah. No, I can't stand it. I just no, that's not be a smart aleck. That's I tell you, now that we're talking about the last two nights with the lack of walks, so we're going to have, what, 15 or more? So, no, it's a big factor, especially in the American League and with the power. You got to really make guys, you know, if you don't walk anybody and you catch a baseball, more times than not, you look at that error column and there's not many walks, you're in that ball game.
You alluded to it, you know, 2 questions ago, but, I mean, this is a guy, obviously every assignment is going to be difficult, but, I mean, he's faced – Chris Sale and Porcello, he's faced, you know, Estrada's going against Estrada and some really good offenses in Houston and Toronto and Boston. Composure-wise, did you know that you had a shot at getting
No. But, you know, you're around him. You keep, you know, we live in a world where we're all looking for dents in the armor. What does somebody know that we don't know and this and that, whatever. And, you know, this guy's not 30 years old. He's one of our younger guys on the staff. And I just like his demeanor. You know, he's got a little... You know what, in the giddy up. And he likes competing. He's a watcher. He watches game. You know, he's very approachable about anything. You know, he's got an opinion, but he doesn't have all the answers. It's been a, you know, he's, hey, I want you in the bullpen tonight. I'll be ready. Through 2 innings, hey, I'm good tomorrow. You know, it's not some false stuff of, hey, I don't want to be sent out. I got it. But that part of it's been impressive. And then, you know, when you, and I've said many times, you got a good delivery, you got a chance to repeat pitches. And Ash has got a good delivery.
Boston's MO has been to jump out or take a lead early, and then you guys two runs in the first inning. You know, how important is that to, first of all, take the lead and then, you know, for Asher's sake as well?
Well, you know, a guy like Porcello and a guy like last night and a guy like tomorrow and a guy like the next day, you know, if you got a little pop at him early maybe, and you better take advantage of it because they're going to settle in. I mean, you look at 30 pitches in the first inning, and that's the difference. He's out there and pitches the sixth inning. You know, that's what I take out of watching, you know, the really top-shelf starters, what they do. You know, it looks like that might be a two or three or four or five-inning outing, but, you know, but you got to do that against those guys. You better take your pops where you can, and when you squander a good run-scoring opportunity off those guys early, it usually doesn't bode well for you.
You're impressed the last few nights of the Christmas of the club and all the facets.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's the weather a little bit. I mean, last two days are what, you know, Baltimore and playing here. And I think there's a lot. It's finally we kind of settled into a set schedule. And, you know, we were due to start playing a little crisper. You know, that's why it's important that, you know, them and their teammates and their coaching staff don't start changing the way they act or treat people or handle adversity, because, you know, it's a great time to evaluate. I told them some through it. I said, hey, take a look around. Not necessarily your teammates, but the whole thing. You get a real great time to evaluate right now, because you get a feel for what's real and what's not when things get tough.
Given the schedule that he's been on, is it nice to see after all the time off, Kim can come in and deliver? You know,
it was a big hit. You know, they were pounding him in, and he cheated a little bit on there and threw one down there because they were way over in the gap. And John got a good break and good read. But, you know, Kimmy's a guy that, you know, everybody pulls for. I mean, he's a good teammate. He doesn't complain. You know, I think if you really think through, I do, about all the, I don't know, pressure. You know, guys come over like that, you know, that country's wanting them to do well and for the next guy coming, and he has. And I'm sure that he gets asked a lot about not playing as much, and I'm sure it's a hot topic, and we're not probably even aware of it, what some of the stuff he probably deals with after games and before games. So I try to keep that in mind, but he, you know, he's, you know, culturally he's into the competition and being ready. He's a professional.
I think Bradley'd only been caught stealing two or three times in his career out of 27. How impressive was Caleb?
Well, you know, it's a little thing. There's so many parts of it. Like, little things happen in a game. I wish I'd just keep up with them sometime and write them down. That, like, Kim not getting picked off, doubled off on the line drive. You know, we talk about in the spring, I'll get back to that, you can get back. The only ball you should be doubled off on is the ball to first base when you're taking your secondary lead, if you know where the shortstop is, as you take your lead, which allowed us to turn the batting order around and lead off the next inning at the top of the order. And it didn't score a run, mm-hmm. Little things like that. But, you know, Michael, when we first got him, Michael's 1-5, 1-6 the plate. Michael's 1-2 the plate. And Kate will be the first to tell you that, you know, Michael's worked hard at holding runners. You know, we told him, being a shortstop, and quick feet and your arm getting up quickly, that shouldn't be an issue for you if you're willing to work on it. He has. Okay, thank you.
Well, that's Buck Showalter after tonight's 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Orioles now in second place.